Uploading. Tsunami Black Hole Megamix 2K3, now.
The fate of the whole world is in my hands.
You foolish man. I am Ajito Ryo Master. Allow me to reunite you with your ancestors.
Welcome back to Tom's Prerogative, right here on the Absolution Network. I am, of course, your primetime host, Thomas, Primetime Menace, and welcome back to Christmas month! Yay! It's the most wonderful time of the year. I love Christmas, as I'm sure a lot of people do, except for the cranks, you know, the cranky people, you know, think everything sucks, but we're not talking about them. But again, it's Christmas, most wonderful time of the year, and therefore we're celebrating the entire month of December with Christmas shows. And on this episode, well, it's going to be a little bit different from what I've been doing. This episode, I'm going to have a collection of different Christmas specials, Christmas classics, shall we say. Like, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the Rugrats Hanukkah and Christmas special, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and a Charlie Brown Christmas are what I'm going to be covering. And they're going to be, like, little short 10-minute reviews, like, you know, maybe 5, 10, maybe 15, but, you know, somewhere along those levels, talking about each show, because all of these shows are Christmas classics, and, you know, when December comes along, no matter what generation you're from, whether you're part of the Tsunami generation, whether you're part of the hippie generation, whether you're part of the World War II generation, the greatest generation ever, according to some people, no, they're great, but either way, every generation has sit down and watched these shows, and there's a reason they become nostalgic classics. Hence why we're covering them today. So sit back, get some eggnog ready, and relax. Because here's our Christmas classics.
Jingle bells, jingle all the way.
Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Jingle bell, rock. Jingle bell swing and jingle bell ring.
Snowing and blowing up bushels of fun.
Now the jingle hop has begun.
Jingle bell rock.
Yeah.
Jingle bells chiming, jingle bell time.
Ooh.
Dancing and prancing in Jingle Bell Square.
Yeah.
In the frosty air.
What a bright time, it's the right time to rock the night away.
Hooray!
Jingle bell time, it's a swell time to go gliding in a one-horse sleigh.
Giddy up, jingle horse, pick up your feet. Jingle around the clock.
Mix and mingle in a jingling beat. That's the Jingle Bell Rock.
Oh,
so,
giddy up, jingle horn, pick up the feet. Jingle around the clock. Mix and mingle in a jingle and beat.
That's the Jingle Bell.
That's the Jingle Bell.
That's the Jingle Bell.
Jingle Bell Rock!
So to start off, we're going to start off with Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And I have to say that of all the shows that I watched this week, this is definitely my favorite. Chuck Jones animation, Boris Karloff doing the narration, also singing as well. You know, he's got a tremendous voice, which I'll get to in a second. Just a great series of songs and everything. It just really is a classic. Basic plot is, I'm sure everybody knows it, but takes place during Christmas in the town of Whoville. And above the town of Whoville is the Grinch. The Grinchiest person you'll ever meet, and he hates Christmas. He hates everything about it. He hates the presents they get because they make so much noise, noise, noise. He hates the feast because, especially when you're talking about roast beast, he can't stand in the least. And then, of course, them coming out to the center of town and singing Christmas songs. You know, he hates, you know, everything about it, you know, that, you know, all the commercial and all the noise and everything. And he wants to stop it from coming. So he gets the great idea to dress up like Santa, make his dog his reindeer, and he goes and steals Christmas. But in the end, all the Who's in Whoville still come out and sing Christmas songs. And he realizes that Christmas isn't about something you get in the store. Maybe Christmas is just something a little bit more. And he brings back the, you know, his heart grows three sizes that day as his sleigh full of stuff he stole from the town is slipping away, and he gains the strength of 10 Grinches plus 2, saves the sled, brings it back to Whoville, and gives everybody toys, and they all have their feast. So, like I said before, again, start off with music, which also goes to voice. Boris Karloff does an absolutely excellent job doing the narration. And this includes, if I remember right, I think he also did the singing as well. And again, those songs are just, you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You're a vile, da da da. Because I'm blanking on that. But just, I mean, you listen to, like, your smile is full of termites. You're like a seasick crocodile. You know, if I had to make a choice between the two of you, I'd choose the seasick crocodile. You know, him taking in all those pictures, you know, things he's doing, you know, using the cane to hit ornaments like a pool ball and stuff like that, you know. Though my personal favorite is, I wouldn't touch you with a 39.5-foot pole. it's just such a wonderful song. It became an instant classic, probably, when it came out. And because of that song, it's just such a wonderful song. It's so poetic. You know, you don't even need to see the animation to see what's forming just from the words that are being told. Again, Boris Karloff does a great job narrating, you know, him, Vincent Price, and Bela Lugosi are just some great, you know, listening to them, you know, narrate stuff is absolutely wonderful, and we really need more people like that, you know, as a lost art narrating. But going on to animation, again, this is Chuck Jones, who's for me, he's one of the godfathers of American cartoon animation. You know, along with, you know, Hanna-Barbera and, I'm blanking on the, why am I blanking? It's Guy the Droopy. I'm sure I'll remember it Tex Avery. Tex Avery's the other guy, but, like, they're the godfathers of American cartoon animation, from the 50s and 60s and so on, and they just do such a wonderful style, and it's, you know, there were other Grinch cartoons, but this is obviously the best well-known and probably the most memorable because the animation is so well done in it. Way better than the other ones, or any Dr. Seuss cartoon for that matter. I love looking at the backgrounds, you know, it just has its unique and defining style. And overall, I really love the message that it sends in this special, which is, you have the spirit of Christmas. It's not something you buy in a store. And really, mind you, this is something that can be said about all of these specials. That they, in one way or another, they really talk about that, you know, Christmas isn't something you buy in a store. It's not about a feast. It's not about a tree with ornaments on it. It's about the spirit of goodwill, which sometimes gets lost in our own culture. You know, we're so focused on the religious aspect or the commercial aspect or what holiday somebody celebrates. You know, we get mad when somebody says happy holidays because screw you, it's Merry Christmas. And it's like all of that misses out on what the real meaning of the holidays are. And for that matter, the meaning of Christmas, which is the spirit of what Christmas represents. And all of these holidays during the holiday season represent goodwill towards man. You know, the hope of better times, the hope of a better life. You know, the year has come full circle. You know, we're alive, we have our health, we have our family. And just, you know, it's not something, it's a deeper psychological, spiritual thing that really doesn't belong to any one religion for that matter. And I really love the message that this special does send. And when the Grinch discovers that, you know, his heart grows and he gains strength to save this massive sled that's going over the cliff. It's a great message, and I very much enjoy it. With that, let's move on to our next special. Moving on, we're going to move on to the Rugrats Hanukkah and Christmas special. While the Hanukkah special was basically called the Hanukkah special, the Christmas special actually had a was more of a basic episode and was just called the Santa Experience. Plots for both of them are, for the Hanukkah one, it's Hanukkah and Dee Dee's father and mother, Grandpa Moses. I'm blanking on his name and I don't know why. I apologize. But basically, they're going to shul. He's in a play and his rival is playing the Greek king. He's playing Judah Maccabee. And they have this rivalry. They've always been rivals. And, you know, he can't stand it. And there's all these different stories going along. And, you know, Angelica, you know, wants to see her Christmas special. Stu is trying to get the giant menorah to the temple. But at the end, you know, the babies come on stage and they show Grandpa Moses and his rival to remember what the holidays are about, which is the celebration not of potato pancakes or of gifts or Christmas specials, but of the miracle of the lamp. The miracle that of this lamp that had just this little bit of oil that was only supposed to last one day, lasting 8 days. Not in an overly religious manner, mind you, but, you know, that the spirit of the holidays, again, that miracles can happen, and remembering that it's about family. And then with the Rugrats Christmas special, known as the Santa Experience, Christmas is coming, starts off in a mall. Angelica reveals the Santa to be a fake. She thinks it's all about gifts. They decide, you know, all the parents are like, oh, wishing they could do more for the kids. And they all decide we're going to go to a cabin to give them an authentic sort of country holiday experience where they cut down their own tree and everything. Charles and Angelica's dad wants to, I think that their kids are in trouble of hating Christmas, so they're trying to help him get in the spirit. Charles dresses up as Santa and tries to come down the chimney. Hilarity ensues. Meanwhile, Tommy and Chucky are trying to capture Santa. Angelica's trying to get back on the good list so she doesn't get a lump of coal after hearing Grandpa's story. And at the end, Santa comes in, who they think is a paid actor. Turns out to be the real Santa Claus and gives everybody gifts. So both these specials, to an extent, really, again, they follow with the spirit of something that Rugrats was very good at, why it was so popular. I mean, for us kids, Rugrats was popular because, You know, again, we kind of understood the unique way the babies were looking at the world. But as you get older, you understand sort of the embracement of family that Rugrats really encompasses. And that was very important, because while these specials feel like specials, they also don't feel too past being, you know, not, you know, there are certain times where, like, a Christmas special or a holiday special of a show will be so overly about the holidays that it doesn't feel like, it feels like it's a completely different show, you know, and really not canon part of the show. Yes, I'm looking at you, Power Rangers Christmas special. Not the new one, I'm talking about, like, the original one, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. But no, here, these feel like great Rugrats episodes, because they have the great comedy that the Rugrats cartoons are known for. You know, I love Stu building the giant menorah and trying to get it to the shul. And I love him getting caught in the Christmas parade. He's like, man, traffic's really tough. And then it pulls back and he's in this parade. I love the cute way. I know this is something my mom likes, but the cute way Angelica describes Hanukkah as the holiday between Thanksgiving and Christmas in which all the Christmas specials come on. Being an adult now, that's just a cute way of hearing it described. But again, you know, really loved all these stories, but they all come together and to, you know, again, at least for the Hanukkah special, to talk about, you know, what the spirit of Hanukkah is. Again, family and the spirit of the holidays and the miracles it can create. Not just the miracle of that one bit of oil lasted 8 nights, but the miracle of family and the spirit of hope. And you get that as well with the Christmas special, you know. You have Angelica, you know, after hearing Grandpa's story. And mind you, she's doing it so she doesn't get a lump of coal. It gets her Cynthia house. But still, understanding to do good things. And eventually embracing somewhat the spirit of Christmas, you know. Phil and Lil, you know, trading their favorite toys to get presents for the other one. Tommy and Chucky trying to capture Santa Claus, which, again, it's that great Chucky and Tommy dynamic of, you know, Chucky's scared of everything, and Tommy's like, well, very courageous, says, well, let's just do it, and tries to capture Santa Claus. And, of course, all the funny stories in between, and, I just love the reveal at the end that, you know, the Santa that comes in and gives them all presents and then leaves turns out to be the real Santa, because the Santa that Angelica's dad had hired couldn't make it. And it's just that classic Christmas show, like, that was the real Santa. So, yeah, I very, very much enjoyed it. It's a great special, and I think, you know, it's only about, ooh, I want to... It's going to be 20 years old soon. It happened in 94, I think. 93, 94, maybe 95. I'm blanking on when it happened. I actually want to lean more towards 94, 93. But either way, you know, yeah, it's coming on 20 years. And I think it's now going to start going into being a classic Christmas special for both these holiday specials of the Rugrats. With that being said, let's move on to our next Christmas classic. So our next Christmas classic is A Charlie Brown Christmas. And I think this is one we all saw when we were younger. You know, it's something that's been playing for many years. These next two classics, by the way, are also Rankin Bass, which is, you know, unfortunately Rankin Bass, I think, doesn't get the kind of respect that, you know, maybe a Hanna-Barbera and Warner Brothers cartoons get. But they do really, really quality stuff. They've done some bad stuff, but they also do some quality stuff. You know, Rankin Bass also did Frosty the Snowman. Besides, you know, just the stop motion stuff, as we'll get to in with our next classic. And this. But yeah, basic plot. Charlie Brown is very depressed about the Christmas season. He enjoys the Christmas season and everything, but, you know, he hates the commercialism. And, you know, sort of classic Peanuts fair happens, you know. They're trying to put on this Christmas parade, play, excuse me, not parade, but Christmas play. And things aren't going right as Charlie Brown's the director. And finally, you know, after listening to, why am I blanking on his name? I apologize, folks. Manus or Plankus or I'm blanking his name. Cape with the Blanket. I just watched it like an hour ago to like refill my mind, and I'm blanking on the name. I apologize. But either way, you know, he sort of does this great speech, and it reminds Charlie about, you know, not letting commercialism, you know, take away his spirit of the holidays. And, you know, he takes his little tree, which he made, which all the kids made fun of, that he got for the play, and he, you know, takes it to dress it up. And just when he thinks, you know, he tries to dress it up, but it sort of falls over. But the kids have sort of learned their lesson. They dress up the tree, and they make it look beautiful. They give it a little love. And everybody understands that it's not about the commercialism. It's about the spirit of the holidays in a somewhat over, somewhat religious way. But yeah, Peanuts specials have just become a sort of staple of, I think, of any holiday season. Because, you know, you have the Christmas one, you have the Thanksgiving special, you have the Halloween special, and it's, you know, they're on every year. And it I think it does take a bit of growing up to really appreciate what these specials are talking about. Because, again, Peanuts has its unique way of, like, you know, you have these, you know, young kids talking about very adult things. It's really the genius of Charles Schwartz and Peanuts comic strip. Again, Snoopy's just funny through the special. It's just funny to hear some. I just think some of the dialogue is really, really funny. You know, Lucy is the psychiatrist. You know, some of the things that Charlie Brown, you know, they're very overtly depressing when you really think about it. But again, it's also, again, talking about the commercialism of Christmas. One thing is, I wish maybe they had a bit more sort of Christmas music. I mean, they had their fair share of Christmas music. But, you know, again, when they're on stage in the plane, they continuously are playing the classic Peanuts song, and it's supposed to be a Christmas play, and, you know, he's shouting, he's talking about the actors. He's like, why is he not talking about, you know, the fact that he's not playing Christmas music on his piano? But I really enjoyed the ending to where, you know, Charlie thinks all hope's lost after the tree bends over, and the kids come back and they realize, you know, we've been mean to Charlie, and yeah, he's a blockhead, but he got a really great tree, and they give the tree a little love, and it becomes this wonderful tree. And again, it's that sort of message of, you know, the spirit of the holidays. You know, you give a little love, believe in a miracle, believe in hope, and wonderful things happen. Miracles of the season happen. You know, it's not something that, you know, you just sit there and wait and happen, but you have to give a little love. You have to, you know, put a little effort in. And again, really, I think, encompassing what the spirit of the holidays is about. Again, it's not about commercialism. It's not about religion. It's not about anything. It's about, again, that spirit of goodwill. So, yeah, I really, really enjoy the Charlie Brown Christmas special. With that being said, let's move on to our final Christmas classic, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. So, on to our final Christmas classic, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which, unlike these, the past four, which were half-hour specials, Rudolph, well, really it's 40 minutes, but, you know, again, when it's on TV, it's an hour long. Again, this is not a cartoon. This is a, what I put into the stop-motion live-action category of animation, and the, what I call the dolls technique. Again, using dolls and stop-motion to make animation, you know, and again, a long line of great Christmas Rankin Bass classic stop animation. You know, you have Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. You have Santa Claus is Coming to Town, A Year Without Santa, which are all classic and all have great music and everything. And there are reasons why these are perennial classics, even if a bit of logic sort of hates the fact that, you know, Santa Claus is a bit of a dick in Rudolph, which he somewhat is. You know, as I do fare often, quote the great Michael Bailey, that I'm just, you know, doing the groan that I'm sure a lot of my friends are probably doing now who are listening to this. But, yeah, the elves are singing their heart out for him, and, you know, Rudolph is trying to be the best reindeer he can, and Santa Claus is just like a kind of a dick. But, you know, it brings a very different sort of Christmas idea to the table, you know? Because, you know, again, the other special is about, you know, non-commercialism. In this sense, this special was a largely more about sort of, you know, it doesn't matter what you are, what you celebrate, the holidays are a time for us coming together. You know, they're Rudolph and Cornelius the Elf are our misfits, you know, because they're a bit different and people make fun of them for that. But Christmas isn't a time where we should be, you know, ousewising people for being different, you know? And again, and which is really the gist of the story, which, you know, again, Donner has a child named Rudolph who has a bright red nose. All the reindeer make fun of him, and, you know, Santa can't have him as part of his sleigh. So him and an elf named Cornelius, who wants to be a dentist, run away. They meet up with, oh, I'm blanking on his name. I should know these names. I watched these in the past couple days. But a miner, they go to the Island of Misfits Toys, but going there makes Rudolph realize that he can't run from his problems, and he goes back. They run to the Abominable Snowman to defeat him, but a massive storm comes, and only Rudolph and his bright red nose that glows can guide Santa's sleigh, and he saves Christmas. But, yeah, like I said, again, it's a matter of this story is very enjoyable in the sense of what it's telling about. You know, don't criticize somebody for being different. Don't, you know, criticize for somebody for celebrating a different way. Everybody, I mean, that's what it can be. You know, it's a large metaphor for that. It can be translated into that, you know. And through the years, I think that's part of the reason Rudolph has had such great popularity is because you can take the story of Rudolph, who's being basically made fun of because he's different, and transfer it into, you know, different ideas, you know, of racism and sexism, and, you know, even now where you have all the bullying online to people who are just different because they might be gay or because they're fat or whatever. You know, again, Rudolph translates very well into, you know, not running from your problems when you have these problems and being proud of who you are, which is a large part of what Rudolph is about. Again, the songs are just wonderful in this animation. Great renditions of both Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Holly Jolly Christmas, Gold and Silver. You know, these are just, they become Christmas classics, even though Gold and Silver, to an extent, is more about gold and silver than it is about Christmas, but still, it's become classics, and it's just got that nostalgic sort of old-school feel to the songs that I personally enjoy. I think today's younger kids may not appreciate it as much, but I think as people do get older, they start to appreciate these songs much, much more. I do have an issue with the elf song. That's probably for me the weakest song in the show. It's okay, but, you know, that it definitely feels outside of, you know, the other songs. You know, it doesn't feel like it measures up to the other songs. And maybe that's because of the nostalgic feeling there, but I don't know. That definitely did feel like the weakest song of the show. Moving on to animation. Yeah. Again, it's classic stop motion. I would be willing to go on record here and say that probably maybe the animation of this wouldn't be appreciated as much if it wasn't for things like Nightmare Before Christmas and Chicken Escape and Wallace and Gromit and Robot. You know, all this stuff that's keeping stop motion alive, which themselves were inspired by the Rankin-Bass cartoons. You know, the animation in this is absolutely incredible. I mean, first off, the dolls, one of the things I like about the dolls, and this immediately makes me nostalgic about the holidays, is that, you know, when you look at Rudolph and you look at the dolls, they look like those sort of felt tip sort of Christmas decorations that you put on trees and everything that have that unique smell that, you know, and again, you combine that smell with sort of the Christmas pine. It's a memory type of smell that you just, you know, you look at it, you see it, and then you automatically remember that smell. And it just, like, it automatically puts me in the mood of Christmas and makes me nostalgic. So right there, that's a very unique way to sort of put people into the mood of what Christmas is about. And, you know, again, I'm just thinking about it now, and I'm instantly having that, you know, that sort of great sort of pine, Christmas pine needle and those sort of felt doll smell. You know, that's so unique to Christmas. And I think everybody knows what I'm talking about when I'm talking about the smell of Christmas. But, yeah. And then, of course, you know, the animation, it's jerky in some places, but there are a lot of great places where the animation is just smooth. And they did a wonderful job on the stop motion. And even when it's jerky, it just adds to the sort of unique style of Rankin-Bass's stop motion. And that's the thing, by the way, about stop motion animation, which is you can be a bit jerky. All the jerkiness does is add to the particular style that you're creating. And when you do a ton of stop motion and you have those jerk motions, you know, it's something that people come to expect and it becomes part of the style. But yeah, it's just that wonderful thing. It's, and let's face it, it led to a lot of us taking those felt tip dolls and sort of like making our own stories. I remember one person told me that when they were a kid, you know, they were playing with the dolls and they gave Rudolph a bazooka and, you know, I want my job and I want it now. I don't know what happened to that person. I guess some people will always need a bazooka for Christmas. To celebrate it, at least. I guess. But yeah, it's just those dolls, they bring me such nostalgic feelings. Yeah, it's a great lesson in it. Great music. It's one of those, again, and this goes for all these Christmas classics. They're all classics that I just enjoy watching around the holidays. I can also enjoy them throughout the year, but at the same point in time, I especially enjoy them during the holidays. They make me feel like, you know, this is the holiday season. So, overall, I'm just going to go down the line of sort of like 5-star reviews for each of this. Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas, a 5. Rugrats Hanukkah and The Christmas Special, both I give 4 stars. Charlie Brown Christmas, 4 stars. And then, of course, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I give a 5-star. They're all excellent. They're all Christmas classics. They're reasons why we're all watching them during the Christmas season. And I think the best thing to say about all these specials is that they all get better with age. Not just in the fact that as they get older, they get more nostalgic and better, but as people grow up, you know, these specials come to mean more and they come to be appreciated more by people as they get older. So I think that's the best thing you can say about any animated show, for that matter, not just specials. So that was my review on Christmas classics. I hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as I enjoyed watching these classics and getting to review them. Remember to, if you have any feelings on things I said about these Christmas classics, let me know. You can leave comments on the website, which you can find at www.an.132productions.com. You can leave comments on the post, or you can email me at absolution132@yahoo.com. That's absolution132@yahoo.com. And hopefully soon I will finally get the... I hope by the end of the year to finally get the iTunes feed up. So, yeah. I also know that, Kaji over at Otaku Momentum is working on getting us on, I think it's called Snitch or Snoogle or something along those lines. So, we're hopefully trying to get on some mobile apps as well. Either way, you can find us there and leave us comments. I want you guys to tell me, what do you think of these Christmas classics? Remember also to check out all the other 132 production sites like Tokyo SOS, which features the Tokyo SOS podcast, a podcast about Godzilla, where we review every Godzilla movie ever made, which you can find at www.tokyosos.132productions.com. And, of course, our comic book site, Comic Book Crazy, which features Comic Book Crazy and Hexcast, which you can find at www.comicbookcrazy.132productions.com. Of course, remember to check out all our friends that you can find on the side part of the site, like Michael Bibley's Views from the Long Box, Brad Douglas' Spider-Man Crawl Space, Steven Slyker's Major Spoilers, Two Freaks. You know, check them all out. They're all great podcasts. And, you know, again, it's the holiday season, so you know they're coming out with some spectacular Christmas specials. And overall, next week... Well, what's coming next week? Well, next week, we will be covering a stop-motion movie that has become a Christmas classic. It's a movie as, if you were listening to this podcast, I told you before, I feel kind of helped save the stop-motion. Yep, that's right. Next week, I will be covering for a Christmas special, The Nightmare Before Christmas. Tim Burton's Nightmare Before Christmas, to be exact. Ah, I can't wait. I have my special edition DVD already ready to be put into the DVD and watch it, and all the great songs. And, did I mention I love Christmas? Well, that's it for this week's show, folks. But until next time, my Toonami generation, stay golden.